This morning, we're going to look at Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. If you have a Bible, you may turn to your Bible. If you are using the phone, the Bible apps, use the Bible apps. We are going to look into one of the most familiar parable, well-known parable. Probably, I believe, many of us here would know about this parable. It is about the parable of the prodigal son. How many of us here this morning, you have not heard about this parable before? You have not read about this parable before? You don't know what I'm talking about it before or now? Okay, that's great. What we're going to do right now, we are not going to look through all the passages. Oh, I saw my coach is here, Mr. Wee. I'm glad you're here today. All right, good to see you here, Mr. Wee. All right, Mr. Wee is my ex-badminton coach. Good to see you here today. Because of time, we're not going to read through the whole passage, but I'm going to give you a summary of the stories. And because this is Father's Day, so I want us to put more attention and focus on the fathers. And this is how the story goes. The story is about a father has two sons. One day, the younger son came to the father and demanded him to give him his inheritance, which he will only get it when his father dies. Of course, when the father heard what the son said to him and the demands, the father was hurt. But he grants it anyway. And the younger son takes everything he has and goes into a far country. And there, he squandered his money in loose living. He became so poor that he began to beg food. But nobody was there to help him. Nobody was giving him anything to eat. And he became so desperate. So desperate to the point that he degraded himself. Eating or share food with the pigs was something the Jews would never do. It was then at that point he realized how foolish he was to reject his father's love. So he decided to return home. Somehow, interestingly, he still believes his father still loved him. But because of what he did to his father, he felt ashamed and unworthy to be his son anymore. So he was prepared to be his father's servant. He's prepared to the point where he said to the father, I don't want to be your son anymore. I've hurt you. Just make me your servant. And he's thinking, at least be a servant. I have something to eat. And so when he returned home, returned to his father, something unexpected happens. While he's still at a distance, the father saw him. And he had compassion on him. And he ran towards him. He hugs him and he kisses him. After that, he even called for a celebration. He restored his status and he invited all his friends, everyone, and said to them, come and join me for this very special occasion. Let's celebrate. This son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. But the older brother was not happy. He felt his father was unfair. So he refused to go inside and enjoy the party. So when the father heard it, he tried to persuade the son patiently, helping the son to understand why this celebration is good. And he assured him that this celebration is not about the inheritance, but it's a celebration of joy, occasion by where the son, his youngest brother, was lost, now was found. There are three spiritual lessons today I want to share with us about fathering through this parable. Three lessons that we can learn through this parable. And the first is the father's pain. The son, the younger son told the father, I want my share of your inheritance now before you die. In those days, when the father died, the older son received a double portion of what the other children would get. But the division of the inheritance only occurred when the father died. Therefore, when the younger son asked the father for his inheritance, it was really an act of disrespect. It was like a curse to the father. Because to ask the father before he died for an inheritance is an act of disrespect. It's an act where he will hurt the father very much. But what hurt the father most was not the rejection of, was not the inheritance that the son was asking. What really hurt the father most was the rejection of the son's love. That the son has outrightly rejected his love. The son wanted nothing to do with his father anymore. The son is basically saying to the father, I'm tired of you. I'm weary of our relationship. I want it out. We have no clue why the son said to the father that way. We have no clue why the son did that. But what we know, his actions had hurt and tear the father's heart. Maybe some of our parents here can identify the father's feeling today. It is hurtful when our children ignore us. It is hurtful when our children choose to walk out of our way. It's hurtful when our children choose not to talk to us. It is hurtful when our children said to us, they decided not to come to church. They want to have their own way, their own lives. It is hurtful to parents. One lesson I learned about fathering is no matter how hard I try to be a good father, no matter how many good things I try to do for my children, the truth is this. I realize I will still disappoint my children. I will still hurt them. And I believe the reason that why I will still hurt them because I was imperfect. I was an imperfect father. And so no matter how well I try to do for them, how much I want to give them, no matter what, I realize at some point of their lives, I might just say something wrong or I might just do something wrong. But even if you are a good servant, you are someone who is very faithful to the Lord, you serve God faithfully. I also want to assure you, it does not mean our children will not go astray. We must remember our children, they are sinners too. And they have their free will to do things in their own ways. One of the examples I can give you is found in 1 Samuel chapter 8 verse 1 to 3. In 1 Samuel chapter 8 verse 1 to 3, it says that when Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as judges for Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second son was Abijah. And they served at Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. Samuel, as we know, a prophet who was a godly and faithful servant. And I believe as a godly man and a faithful servant, he will want to do his best to be a godly father. He wants to be a good father. But yet the Bible, the story tells us, his both sons went astray. And on the other hand, it was interesting to find out that in another king, a very wicked king by the name of Ahab was a very poor example of what does it mean to be a father. And yet, his son, King Hezekiah, was such a godly man. I'm not saying parents have no responsibility over our children's behavior. Neither am I saying our children cannot be led astray and even damaged by our own weaknesses. But I'm saying to us parents or fathers, the failure of our children does not necessarily mean we have failed as parents or we have failed as fathers. But as fathers, naturally, we feel guilty when our children went astray. We tend to blame ourselves for our fault. And we feel discouraged as we look at our children, how far they have turned away from the Lord. And some of us even condemn ourselves. We felt like a failure as a father. But I want to assure us, my fathers today, God gave us guilt for a purpose. The purpose is not to condemn us. The purpose of the guilt is not to condemn us. But the purpose of the guilt is to reveal to us and to remind us that we are not God to our children. The purpose of guilt is to remind us that we still need to rely on Jesus. The purpose of guilt is to remind us that we need God to help us. Maybe some of us today, you feel that you have messed up as a father. You feel that you have not lived up to what you are called to be a father. You feel that you have failed as a father. You feel that you are not good enough to be a father. I want you to know, my father's here. The Father in heaven is saying to you right now, He still loves you. You are still precious in His sight. And He will never forsake you. So never give up, my father's here. He will help you. For there is no condemnation for those belong to Jesus Christ. So don't let that guilt condemn you. Rather, turn it into something that will motivate you to do better. Let that guilt help you to turn to God and confess your fall short. Turn to God and seek God for help. And the most important thing, my father's here, remember, always remember, no matter how badly we have messed up, no one is beyond the reach of God's love and mercy. Remember, as much as we love our family, we love our children, we also need to remember God loves them more than us. He even gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for their sin. So don't be discouraged, my father's here. If you feel they're not doing good enough as a father, I want you to know our Father in heaven loves you. But don't let that guilt condemn you. Rather, turn to God and let Him help you. The second thing I want to talk about the Father is about the Father's courage. The Father was hurt in the story when the Son told Him that He wanted His inheritance. But the Father's response to the Son was surprising, unexpected. Instead of retaliating, angry with the Son, He agreed to divide His wealth between His sons. I mean, I do not know. I'm perfect. I love my son. I love my family. I love my children. I mean, if one day, if my son come to me and said to me, you know, Dad, anyway, you're going to die one day. Why don't you give me your inheritance today? I wouldn't know how I'm going to respond to my son. Of course, I would slap him left and right. Maybe I will be so angry, I will say to him, because of that, whatever you have, I will give it to your sister. Maybe that's what I will do. But the father in the story responded very differently. He agreed to his son by bearing the pain. And I find that for the father to make that decision, it was a very courageous decision from a parent's point of view, or from my point of view. You see, as a parent, when your son said to you that, you know, I want to leave this home, I want to live life in my own ways, now as a parent, you will start to worry about how will he survive in our society? Even with all the money, you will start to worry, you know, about will he spend all the money? Will he waste all the money? And the world is cruel. Can he manage it? Can he survive? As a father, when your children say to you, you know, Dad, let me live my own way and my own lives. Naturally, you will start to feel very worried for him. You will try to control him because of your fear of losing him. But the father, this father make a very painful and courageous decision by agreeing to let the son go. And I believe that to this father, it was necessary. Because to him, this may be the way to help his son to grow up. This may be the way for the son to grow mature. This may be the way that, yes, it's true, he will suffer. He will probably face some obstacle. But this may be the way to help his son to grow wiser and gain wisdom. There was once my son Josiah broke his arm while playing the slides at the playground. And it was really bad because, it broke and it like a pyramid shape. And so when I saw my son's arm, it broke my heart. I felt so painful for him. And so as a parent, my natural reaction is to tell him, from now on, no more slides for you. On surface, it seems like I was trying to protect my son. But later on, I found out I wasn't trying to protect my son. I was trying to protect my own feeling. I was trying to protect my own fear. I was trying to protect myself from going through the same pain again. So my parents, fathers here, I want us to know our children are much stronger than what we thought they are. But many times, it's not our children not able to cope the stress and the challenge in the society or outside in the world. Many times the challenge is the parents who cannot overcome their own fear of losing them, their own fear of pain, their own fear of disappointment, and their own fear of failure. But I want to encourage us fathers here, it is necessary that sometimes our children must go through some suffering and pain. In Romans chapter 5 verse 3, Paul says, we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. So Paul also says that it is good sometimes we go through suffering and pain because it is through that suffering and pain that God makes us a stronger person. It is true that suffering and pain give us a stronger character. It is true that suffering and pain that we gain wisdom. As a sportsman, I want you to know that it is impossible to be fit, to be strong, and to able to put a good game without physical training, without suffering, without going through pain. Every time when we look at the Olympics, we celebrate with those who are doing very well, like, you know, those who do very well, and you see them on TV, and we cheer for them. But not many of us realize the journey of pain and suffering they have to go through. In order to be where they are, they first have to go through suffering and pain. So I want to encourage us fathers, when we pray for our children, don't ask God to take away their suffering. Don't ask God to take away their pain. But I want to encourage us, ask God to give our children strength to overcome them. Ask God to give our children wisdom to deal with that. Ask God to give our children perseverance and character to overcome them. So that through the process, as they walk through the suffering and pain, with the help of God and the strength of God, our children will become godly with a strong character. Our children will gain the perseverance and wisdom. So that when they go into the world, they are ready to face the challenge of this world. I'm not saying to us parents or fathers here, you know, we don't set boundaries. I'm not talking about that. Neither am I saying to us, just let them do whatever they want. What I'm saying here is that before we set boundary, before we act, before we want them to do something, the first thing we need to do is to search our motivation. It's the question of why. Is it out of my fear that I set the boundaries? It is out of my fear of disappointment, I set the boundary. We don't want to transfer fear to our children. We want to transfer faith and courage, helping them to know that I cannot do it, but God can do it. We want to transfer that faith to our children. You see, sometimes when our children go through suffering and pain, what we don't realize is that in the process of going through the suffering and pain, it's actually an opportunity for us to go near to our children and to share with them and to walk with them. It is an opportunity for us for God to bring us together, to share the pain together, to love one another, to find the support. But it is also an opportunity for God to reveal Himself. Many times it is in the suffering and pain. It will help our children to realize their need for God. It is in the suffering and pain they realize they need someone greater. It is in the suffering and pain is where the parents can come in, the fathers can come in and tell our children, you know, I cannot help you in everything, but I want you to know there's a God in heaven who can help you. So it is in that suffering sometimes God allows it so that our children can experience the salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. So just like the prodigal son, it was during his suffering and pain he finally came to senses. It was at that point he realized that he had sinned against God. It was at that point he decided to return to the Father. And on his way back to the Father, something unexpected happened again. He thought that his father would be angry. He thought that his father would probably reject him. He thought his father probably would ignore him. But he was surprised that his father ran towards him. Not just his father ran towards him. His father has compassion on him. He kissed him. He hugs him. And he said to the son, "It's all right. I'm here with you. Come, let's go home. Let's celebrate. Now you are back." Despite all the things the son had done against the father still loves him. Likewise to many of us here, despite all the sins that were done against God, your Father in heaven still loves you. Each one of us here, you are precious in the eyes of God. Despite all the things we have done, we think that God will probably reject us. We think that God probably will ignore us. I want you to know today, He still loves you. And that is the Father's love for all of us. And I'd like to share 5 ways how we can show our Father's love to our children. First, listen to your children. Listen to your children. Listen is an active choice of love. The father could have waited for the son at home. When the son was on the way back, the father could have just waited at home and wait for the son to come to him and apologize and then ask for forgiveness. But instead of waiting for the son to come to him, we saw the father humble himself. He ran to the son and reconciled with the son. So fathers, no matter how busy you are, we must find time to run to our children. No matter how busy you are, don't wait for your children to come to you. Make time for them. Run to them. Talk to them. Listen to them. And understand them. Listening is important because the opposite of love is not hate, but apathy. Listening to them help us to be more compassionate. Listening to our children teach us how to love them better as we know how their lives has been going through. Listening help us to draw closer to them. Listening to them help our children to know that we love them. Because our children, whether in school, sometimes at home, most of the time is receiving instruction. The school will tell them what to do. The teachers will tell them what to do. When they come at home, parents continue to tell them what to do. But do we know that children, just like us, they also need space for them to share. We adults recognize the importance of space to have someone to listen to us. If you understand the importance of someone listening to you, your children, they too need that space to share with you and for you to listen to them. The enemy of busyness is listening. That's why listening is so important. Because if you want your children to listen to you, you have to stop being busy. You have to stop doing what you've been doing. You have to stop that and cut it off and create new space and time for your children. And that's why listening is the enemy of your busyness. You cannot be busy and listen at the same time. You have to choose one. So make space and time for your children where you can listen to their voice and know what has been going through in their lives. It does not mean that when you create space, our children will necessarily share with us. It does not mean that because I give them their space, definitely, alright, they want to share with us what has been happening in their lives. It may not be necessary. But what I'm trying to say is that when they go outside of their house, when they're going through something challenging outside of their home, when they have no one to turn to, no one to listen to her, or no one to listen to him, at least remember, there's a home, my father, there's a space where I can share with my father about my life. And I encourage fathers, create time, create space for your children to talk about their life. Create time and create space and listen to what has been going on in your children's life. Secondly, affirmation. Second way of how we show our love, father's love to our children, is through your affirmation. Imagine the son has not been taken shower for days. His hair is very messy. He slept with the pigs, eat with the pigs, so he must be very smelly. But what did the father do? When the father saw the son, he hugged him. What happened to the smell? And he even kissed him. What happened? You see, at that point, the father forgot everything about what he has done, the smell, the messiness of the hair. He has forgotten everything except one thing, that my son has come home. That's the only thing he can remember. And that alone cut away, wash away every smell, every messiness, every wrong things his son has done. I realize that in life, it is always so easy for us to focus on people witnesses. It's so easy for us to focus on people witness, and then we start to criticize. We start to put down the person, because it's so natural that when we look at the person, the natural things that we used to see, we often see is about the weakness of this person and not about the strength of this person. As father, we want our children to do better. As father, we want our children to be successful. But we don't want to keep reminding our children about what they need to improve. We don't want to keep reminding our children their shortfall. We don't need to keep reminding our children that they need to do better. Our children need to hear something from the father. He needs to hear words of affirmation from the fathers. Our children need to see the father as their encouragers in their lives, not someone who always makes them feel they are not good enough. They want to see their father who is someone who can run with them. When they are disappointed, they want to see their father is someone who will be there to encourage them, to walk with them. Our children need to hear the words of affirmation from the Father. So I want to share with us fathers here, your words of affirmation means a lot to your children. A few years ago, there was this youth camp, and during the camp, the topic was on the father's love. And so after the sermons, we make an altar call, and then we had the youths coming forward for ministries. While I was praying for a young boy, the Holy Spirit said in my heart, hug this young boy. Tell this young boy that he loves him. So I hugged this young boy and I said to him, I want you to know today, God loves you. And immediately the boy broke down and cried. And then the boy said to me, he said, Pastor, all this year, my father has never hugged me. All this year, my father has never affirmed me. He broke down and he cried. So my fathers today, your words means a lot to your children. Not just to your own children, but to the young people. Even to the person beside you, your words of affirmation means a lot to them. We're going to practice it right now. All the men, you turn to the person beside you. If she's a lady, I want you to look at the lady's eyes and say, you look beautiful today. If the person is a guy, I want you to look at the guy's eyes and say, you look handsome today, alright? Okay, let's do it. All the fathers, all the men here, look, turn around. Let's affirm one another. Your affirmation means a lot. Thirdly, prayer of thanksgiving. The father threw a party for his son to celebrate his return. There was joy at home. So there was a celebration. There was joy. Everybody was very happy. I want to ask us as father, when we pray for our children, how do we pray for them? In the past, my first prayer is, God, protect my children. I believe all parents will pray that prayer. All fathers will pray that prayer. And then the second thing we pray is, God, change them. But as I was preparing this sermon, on this part about celebration, I was reminded by God once again. Something I've done sometimes ago, but I've forgotten about it. And that is in my prayer. I learned to thank God for my children. I learned to thank God for the joy my children have brought into this family. When I pray for my children, I thank them. I say, dear, my son, my daughter, I want to thank you for loving this family. I want to thank you for being part of this family. I want to thank you that because of your presence, this family is different. And I want to thank God for you, that God has put you into this family to bless your parents. So I take time to give thanks to God and to my children. And I want them to know that how thankful we are for them. You know, as parents, many times we have a lot of expectation of our children, especially in our world today. In a very competitive world, we are competing with one another. And there's always this race that's going on. That we want them to be better, our good intention, but as a result, instead of being thankful for what they have done, most of the time we try to push them, we try to drive them, because we want them to do better. But my father's here, children need to hear and need to know that you appreciate them. They will run for you. They will drive for you. But they need to hear that you appreciate them. They need to hear from you that you are thankful and you thank God for them. So I want to encourage our father here, make your family, your home, a place of joy and celebration. Don't make your home a place where when your children come home, there are fightings, there are a lot of arguments. Make your home a place of fun. A place of joy. where the children, when they grew up, they will always remember, I have a home of joy and celebration. Of course, it's not easy. And I know it's not easy. But we must keep trying. We must keep doing it. It may not be always be successful. But I want us to know, your children will know, when you put in your effort to make a home with joy and celebration. So fathers, today, I know it's Father's Day, and probably your children are going to celebrate Father's Day for you. One of the things I want you to do as you celebrate your Father's Day today, thank your children. Don't just wait for your children to thank you. Go to your children and thank them. If you are a man of few words, you are very shy, just like me, not much word, what you can do, write it down, prepare in your mind, so that when you see them, look into their eyes and say to them, my sons and my daughter, Papa has something to say to you today. Thank you. Thank you for the joy you have brought into this family. So say something to help your children to remember that you appreciate them and you are thankful of them. Fourthly, very quickly, because of time, I'm sorry, I think I take a bit too long today. Can you please forgive me? Right? Alright? Yeah? Okay, have mercy on me, alright? Okay? You will be like the father, I'll be like the son, okay? So when I turn back, alright, don't run away from me. I want you to come and hug me and kiss me, alright? I'm going to finish very soon, alright? I know I take a bit too long. And fourth thing, how we show our father's love, don't compare. Stop comparing. Stop comparing. The older son was angry with the father because the older son was comparing himself with the younger son. And as he compared himself with the younger son, he began to feel that the father is not fair, but in actual fact, it's not. The fair is fair. The father is fair to both of them. And so I want to encourage us, fathers, don't compare. Especially, don't compare your children with other children. When I was young, my relatives like to compare me with other children, and I really hate it. I don't like it. Also, don't compare, if you have two or more, don't compare your children among themselves. They don't like it. So don't compare your children. When you feel that you lack something, when you compare with other families, and you feel that you lack something, remember this word from God, as how the father said to the son, to the older son, remember you have me. So when you feel that you need to compare, you feel that you're lacking something, the Father is saying to you today, remember, you have me. And to have God, you have everything. That's what God is saying to you. So when you want to compare something, don't compare with other people. Compare your blessing in Jesus Christ. Compare your inheritance in Jesus Christ. And last but not least, the part that really touched my heart about this story, about this parable, it's not just about the father kisses the son, the father hugs the son, or the father runs to the son, or when the son chooses to be, to walk out of his home and want to be in his own ways. The part that really moves my heart as I read this parable, this story, is nobody knows. How long did the father wait for the son to return? And that really helped me to understand God's love. Waiting is the most painful thing when you want to love someone. My father-in-law just got baptized 2 weeks ago, and last month he gave his life to Jesus Christ, and so we baptized him 2 weeks ago. But God waited 70 years for him to say yes. And that is God's love for him. Patiently waited for the son to return. Patiently waited for my father-in-law to return. Last week I was at the Fink camps run by Jared and Ann, and some of the staff were there to help out. I think I saw May was there. It's a camp designed for family with special needs children. I really had a good time, wonderful time, knowing the children and spending time with the parents. And I was really impressed by how the camp was run. Because without proper planning, anything can happen to the children. There was this incident, a parents bring their children, their sons to the toilet. And after doing the business, the son went up the toilet without informing the father. And the father thought the son was lost. The son ran away. And so the father thought the son was lost. And I heard the father call the son's name very loud. Aaron, Aaron, where are you? Very loud. It was a public place. And he was calling for the son. Where are you, Aaron? The mother went around the resort trying to look for the son. But thank God he was found. He was hiding in one of the corners of the resort. So we thank God the son was found. The parents felt relieved after that. But as I look at the parents' eyes, I could feel that tiredness. I could imagine every time whenever they have to bring their son's errand out, they have to be always that 110% alert just to make sure they will not lose their son. But I saw their love for their son. And the only reason why they are enduring their suffering is because of their love for their son. And I want to give respect. I want to say something to those, some of us, your parents with special needs children. I want you to know that you are an amazing parent. Today, if you have a special needs children, I want you to know that you are an amazing parent. And for some of us here, probably you are a single parent, a single dad, single mom. I want you to know also, you are an amazing parent. It's not easy, but you are an amazing parent. Shall we give a hands, applause for families, parents with special needs children, single parents here. We want to acknowledge them and we want to encourage them. So in my closing, my friends, brothers and sisters, why fathering matters? Why I want to talk about this topic? Because fathering, it is more than just about your children. It is about you and God. It's about you and your relationship with God. It is about you because God can shape our life through our relationship with our children. It is through fathering we learn about how to sacrifice. It is through fathering we learn how to live courageously. It is through fathering we learn how to forgive. It is through fathering we learn how to face our inadequacy, our need. It is through fathering we learn how to depend upon God. It is through fathering we learn how to listen and love our children. It is through fathering we learn how to love God. Love them as how God will love them. God's primary purpose for every father here, for every man here, to do the task of fathering, is more than just helping our children, our youth to be successful. It's more than just about, you know, making our children, or like how proud they can make us to be as a parent. The purpose of fathering is so that God can help us to be a better father. Secondly, it's about God. God is seeking for fathers who is willing to follow His example. That's the meaning of this, the prodigal son, the parable of the prodigal son. That God is seeking for fathers who is willing to follow Him, willing to take time and effort to go out and to help our children. Someone who is not even in our own families, the young people, God is challenging us to move out of our home and help these people, to mentor them, to nurture them, to groom them. And for those who are in difficulty, who those who are going through tough time, God is calling us to go out to these people, to show care, to show love, and to share the truth, to have compassion, to affirm them, to pray for them, and to love them unconditionally. Fathering is challenging. I know it is challenging because I am a father myself. But nevertheless, we must press on. Let us run with endurance God has set before us. Let us run this race, remembering Many fathers have gone before us. Godly fathers have gone before us, and they have done it well. And we are able to do it today because we have Christ in us. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We endure the race because fathering is man's highest calling from God. We endure the race because there's a great blessing when we learn to obey God's call upon our life. So my brothers here, fathers, let us step up and run this race with Jesus. Respond to God's highest calling for you by willingly to follow His example. May I encourage you, all men, fathers, step up and take on the responsibility of fathering the next generation. They may be your children, they may not be your children, but we want to step out and nurturing the next generation. Our youth, those, your neighbors, someone that you know, would you step out, obey His call, be a father to someone? Not for our own sake, but for the glory of God. So may I invite us to stand as we close this time. Although the message is tilt towards the Father, the principle is applicable to every one of us. Each one of us here, we have a call. And the call is to go out, to reach out to the younger generation, to love them, to care for them, to share the truth with them. Today, our Father in heaven is calling you. My sons and my daughter, you know how much I have loved you. You know how much I've done for you. You have my love. You have my grace. You know what it means to be the Father. But today, would you step out and follow my example? Would you move out, mentoring, fathering, love, caring the next generations for Him? Amen.
Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won. For I've been blessed beyond measure, and by His strength alone I overcome. Oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hand, but those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. For only by His grace I am redeemed, and only His tender mercy could reach beyond my weakness to my need. Now I seek no greater honor than just to know Him more, to the glory of my Lord. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope, in Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone.
As you come to a close in service, I want to thank you for your patience and mercy. Today I took a bit longer, yeah, but that sense, this is really what the Lord has put in my heart to the fathers today. The children needs to hear from the fathers. Shall we close our eyes in prayer? Father, I want to thank you that you are our first father. Lord, without you, we wouldn't know how to be a good father. But because of what you have done for us 2,000 years ago, when you sent your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sin, and in that relationship with you, we found you. And in walking with you, learning about the Father's heart, the Father's love, and in that love, we learn how to be the fathers that you want us to be. I pray for all the fathers here today, including myself. Lord, you have called us to be the father that you want us to be. We are imperfect. We still have our weaknesses. But we know that in Christ, all things are possible. We are not running with our own strength. And neither did you ask us to run with our own strength. You tell us to run with you. And as we learn how to be a father, you will show us the way and the wisdom. But the most important thing, oh God, that as we learn to obey your call, to be the father that you want us to be, the greatest blessing is knowing you. That in the obedience, we bond our relationship with you. You are our father and we are your son. And we learn from you and you teach us. And in that process, we learn how to love each other and love the way, love others the way you want us to. So I thank you, Father, for your presence here. Thank you for your words. Thank you for your love that you pour out in this place. Bless every one of them. And the love of God, the strength of God, of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit be with you and be with us and evermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So to all the fathers, happy Father's Day. God bless you and the service is over.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.